The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
I saw her sitting in the rain.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grow Your Garden Radio, where it's easy to be green. Today's topic comes with a warning because it's ripe with the potential for a lot of lowbrow humor, puns, and bad dad jokes. And I'm planning on taking advantage of every one of those opportunities. So here we go. Let's step right in it and see how it all comes out in the end. What's the topic? Manure. The United States produces about 1.4 billion tons of manure annually from its livestock and poultry operations. To quote Jeff Goldblum's character from Jurassic Park, that's one big pile of poop. In reality, Jeff, it's not a pile. The solids from the animal waste product are separated and used after processing for bedding and other purposes, usually right on the site where it was created. The liquid gets stored for recycling right on the farm or to be sold for further processing. Managing all that manure is a major industry in of itself. Huge retention ponds store the liquid manure from daily operations until it can be spread on the farm to nourish feed crop for the animals or sold for processing for other uses. One dairy farm in North Dakota with about 1,600 head of cattle pumps about 3 million gallons of manure onto their crop fields every spring and winter. This bypasses the need to purchase and apply fertilizer from outside sources. It's the ultimate recycling program. Livestock benefit from the high-quality feed that they contribute to through their waste products. The liquid manure is very high in available nitrogen, along with other nutrients that feed crops thrive on. And so the cycle goes. It doesn't seem accurate to call this material a waste product, though. I think raw material is probably more descriptive. Not only can it be used for fertilizer to grow crops, it can also be used to create fuel to power farm equipment and even large electric generators for local industry. One farm in Hadley, Massachusetts, has an incredible aerobic digester that takes local food waste along with liquid manure from their daily operations to produce enough biogas to power a 300-kilowatt engine. Annually, this produces more than 2,000 megawatt-hours of electrical energy. If my arithmetic is correct, that's enough energy to power over 500 average homes for a year. In an article in the Smithsonian Magazine in May of 2023, and on their website, barstowslongviewfarm.com, they explain how the anaerobic digester works in what's a rather brilliant way. They describe it as a large tank that, much like a cow's stomach, allows microorganisms to decompose the raw materials. That produces an odor-free liquid fertilizer and biogas as a byproduct. They report that the system also sequesters 85% of the greenhouse gases produced on their farm. Search for the Smithsonian article or barstowslongviewfarm.com or go to growyourgardenradio.com and look for the show notes for episode 5. You'll find links to the articles and websites, plus a link to the YouTube channel for that North Dakota farmer. It's really fascinating watching how he handles all of that waste. So how does this apply to your backyard garden that probably doesn't need a tanker full of liquid cow poop? For the retail market, composted cow manure is easily available either from local farms or any other hardware store by the bag. Purchasing from a local farm helps support what's usually a local family business. You can also have more confidence in the quality of the product that you're getting because it's produced by a neighbor. So what about other types of animal manure, and what's the safest way to use it? In general, the manure from herbivores, especially cows, horses, sheep, goats, chicken, and llamas, when used properly, can be safe. However, pig, dog, cat, and human waste is considered too risky to take a chance for non-ornamental plants. Such manures carry the potential of human-susceptible pathogens and make it too risky to use on vegetables whose edible portion is below the ground and in contact with those manures. The University of New Hampshire's Extension Office suggests that you wait at least 120 days after applying raw or aged manure to harvest crops that grow in or near the soil, like root crops, leafy greens, and strawberries. You should wait at least 90 days for other crops. This gives the soil microbiome in your garden the opportunity to neutralize most pathogens. After thoroughly washing, the vegetables are usually considered safe to eat. While some types of manure are considered safe for use in gardening, it's important to note that all manure can contain pathogens that might affect humans. These human pathogens, which can be harmful microorganisms like bacteria, viruses, or parasites, are present even in manures deemed safer. Therefore, it's essential to handle all types of manure with care to prevent any potential health risks. Wear gloves, eye protection, if the product you're applying is very dry and dusty, make sure you use respiratory protection, or you have a lot of ventilation, like be outside while you're applying it. Be sure to wash thoroughly when you're done working, and take care not to cross-contaminate anything inside your house with soiled clothing from the garden. The University of Massachusetts Center for Agriculture, Food, and the Environment has an excellent article on fertilizing guidelines. Find the link in the show notes or go to University of Massachusetts Amherst and search for fertilizing guidelines on their website. Other animal manure, like rabbit and chicken, can also be used either composted or raw, taking into account the already mentioned precautions. You do have to be careful not to burn your plants, however. Both of these manures are high in nitrogen, so if you don't carefully apply it, you can burn the tender roots of young plants. Making a so-called manure or compost tea can make application a little easier. Let some manure steep in a bucket of water for a few days. Then apply the tea evenly by pouring it close to, but not directly on, the base of the plants. This is called side dressing when you apply any type of amendment in a little furrow a couple inches away from the root bulb. And finally for today, we have bat guano. Bat guano is harvested from the floors of the caves that bats call home. The guano that accumulates on the floor of those caves can be decades old, if not older. Additionally, a whole ecosystem of microorganisms and insects add their processing, if you want to call it that, to the guano. This brew that is created has a tremendous amount of the basic nutrients, along with many additional nutrients that plants can thrive on. Many growers find this black gold exactly what their plants need to be able to bring them over the top in health and vitality. A major concern, however, is that harvesting is very detrimental to the ecosystem in which it was created. Bat colonies numbering in the millions have been extinguished because of unethical harvesting procedures. Such devastation can negatively impact the ecosystem outside of the bat colony because bats are vital to not only some pollination activity, but also insect control. A biologist by the name of Merlin Tuttle, who is widely regarded as one of the world's experts on bats, reports that millions of free-tailed bats from Bracken Cave in Texas eat more than 100 tons of insects nightly. That's a tremendous service to local Texas farmers and the general population. Go to merlintuttle.org and you'll find an incredible amount of information based on his 60-plus years of rooting around in the habitats of bats all over the world. He is very concerned about the harvesting of guano and the negative impact it has on bat colonies. Not only does it damage the bat colonies, but it damages the larger ecosystem of which they are a member. Many producers are now working at being good stewards of bat colonies with sustainable and less invasive harvesting techniques. Manure plays a crucial role in Earth's life cycles by returning essential nutrients to the soil, promoting plant growth and soil health. This natural fertilizer enhances microbial activity, decomposes organic matter, and improves soil structure and water retention. Through nutrient recycling, manure supports sustainable agriculture, helps reduce chemical fertilizer dependency, and minimizes environmental impact. Overall, manure is an integral component of nutrient cycles, enriching ecosystems and fostering biodiversity. As always, thank you so much for your time and your interest in this show. Go to growyourgardenradio.com to listen to past episodes, leave comments, or access free show notes and other resources for further exploration. Today's episode's got quite a few more resources for further investigation than usual. I hope you find them useful. Thank you for listening to Grow Your Garden Radio, where it's easy to be green.